You're listening to United Nations Association and Canada's Between Two Flags podcast series. UNA Canada's mandate is to educate and engage Canadians on the work of the UN and international issues of importance to us all. Through regular sessions, UNA Canada invites subject matter experts to discuss a wide range of issues related to the Sustainable Development Goals and the UN's work. Live tweet as you listen with hashtag Between Two Flags.
Everyone, and welcome to United Nations Association Canada's Between Two Flags. Today, Mada, who is a regional coordinator, and myself, who is a project officer, will be interviewing Dave Harder and Thomas Cumberbatch.
Hello, everyone. We are so thrilled that Dave and Thomas can join us today. Dave and Thomas are both co-founders of Good City People.
We also wanted to share that today we're recording the podcast on the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, where Article 1 is about how everyone, regardless of their gender, race, religion, culture, who they like, who they love, is born free and equal. And we're happy to be talking to two people who are activists in this domain today. So happy 70th anniversary. Hashtag 4 is actually Stand Up for Human Rights. I'm going to start by introducing Dave. In a few lines, I'll give him the floor. He's passionate about new models of organizing and space making. We call him the space maker. He brings diverse, passionate, and talented people together, creating unlikely collaborations for local change. He's a neighborhood consultant and the co-founder of Good City People, a not-for-profit that creates projects, platforms, and activations to help grow a movement of good. Dave, we can't summarize you in a few lines, but we'll let you speak more about your work.
I really have a longing to create space for human connection and belonging, where there's so much diversity and us versus them, just to create space for people to get to know who each other is, to share stories, and break down the walls that divide us, and love neighborhoods a lot. So I really believe that transformation happens when we can get into our neighborhoods and communities and see tangible change happen in the places in which we live.
And Thomas Cumberbatch is the founder of Godspeed Communication and the co-founder of Good City People as well. As a brand strategist, creative director, and commercial photographer, Thomas' aim is to express the true soul, beauty, and authenticity of every brand that he partners with and connects those brands to deeper community impact. Thomas, would you like to share a little bit more about yourself?
What's really important to me are people. At the nucleus of everything that I do every day is I get to spend incredible, meaningful time with really special people. As a brand strategist, I think you reach a certain level of execution when you realize that it's really not about you, it's about the people in front of you. And every day I get a chance to listen to people's stories, to empathize with their context, where they come from, and I get to build these awesome brands with them. Not just for them, but with them. I have an amazing team at Godspeed. You know, we spend a lot of time together on a daily basis working with people, and I realized that I wanted to make that my everyday in every aspect of my life, and I had an opportunity to start Good City People with my good friend over here, Dave. I get to do some of those things on a daily basis, and it's a beautiful thing to spend time with people. And I'm an Ottawa native. I was born and raised in Ottawa, and I also, like Dave, is seeing that this city needs a lot of people and not just institution. And what we get to do together is create these spaces that bring people who want to see a better community and more meaningful interaction together in different ways. I'm happy to be here, my good friend, and with you too.
Dave, would you be able to please describe the work that you do in the local community?
Yeah, absolutely. I could summarize it this way. Is really the work we're doing is trying to help individuals and brands discover a better way of being human. We can get so caught up in this idea of consuming more and being more and doing more, and we miss so much of what it is to just have human connection. And I think the best way to do that is actually through storytelling and to create space in our communities and neighborhoods to share the stories of good that are happening all around us that we just don't create space for, to listen, to hear. So I really want to see local communities, people in local communities, become known characters in their community, where they're not just someone who wakes up and goes to work and does, you know, kind of the things in the day without these meaningful connections of what their story is and who they are and how they connect locally into their place. So the work that we do is to help individuals and brands discover really who they are, their identity, that's deeper than just what they do.
Yes, and platform them as well. Give them, find a way to connect people so that they have resolve. You know, a lot of the people who are doing good in our community are isolated and they don't understand how to expand their reach. What we do is we pull people together to help them to also expand their reach. But that happens internally first. You know, the idea and the sense of belonging that comes as a result of people coming together in these spaces is really special. And the beauty is that half the time, we're not necessarily the ones coming up with all the answers. In fact, we're not the ones coming up with all the answers. We create the space. And I think that human connection creates a lot of innovation and ingenuity and creativity and story. And that's what I love about story, is that story is not just story on its own. People think that storytelling is you tell a story and it's done. What storytelling does is it's a catalyst to action. It really is. It's a catalyst to confidence. That's what story does.
Yeah. The story helps us imagine a world a different way. And so we get stuck thinking one certain way, and you just need stories to disrupt us, to get us thinking a new way.
We talked about Good City People, and we just wanted to know more on what inspired you to call it Good City People.
It's a great question. It started out as the G Collective. And for us, you know, like we said, we know what it means. But at the end of the day, we didn't create this for us. This is what we believe that we're purposed and mandated to do from an organic perspective. We know that the people that really drive this are the people. We asked ourselves a very simple question. When we realized that the G Collective wasn't the name, we said, well, what are we trying to do? What do we want? Well, we want a good city and we want people that are whole. Good city people. Simple as that. We had different sessions where we spoke about, we were thinking about what should we call this. Just one day on a drive, had an idea, called Dave. Next meeting, we had a new name. And I think it really does speak to what we're trying to achieve. Not just us as a leadership team or a leadership group, but I think that's what everybody who's a part of Good City People is trying to achieve. They want a good city and they want to achieve that. They want to build and grow that with other great people.
Yeah, one of the things is we're about the people, period.
Yes.
So when it's about people, then you have great cities. When it's not about people and you're trying to do institution and infrastructure and you kind of miss the human element. So we want to bring the human element back, and it's about people. And if whole people, they'll create great cities. So let's focus on the humanity again and trust that as we focus on people, we're going to do amazing work. So let's have it be about people first. Just to add to that, the slogan from the ground up, we really want to see it come from the bottom, come from places that often we don't hear, voices that we often don't hear from. And so there's something about things happening on the margins, things happening on the edges, on the outside, that often doesn't get shared. So we want it from the bottom up, where it's not about power and privilege, but it really is about those on the outside and giving them voice.
Dave, you're a father of three and work with youth. And Thomas, you work with youth too. What do you believe are the biggest challenge facing Canadian youth? What are some of the proactive approach we can take to address these challenges?
I think the biggest problem facing Canadian youth is the biggest problem facing Canadian adults, is the biggest problem facing people all over the globe. And that's an identity issue. When I think about a person, I'm also a father. I'm a father of two little boys, and they're awesome. And I realize that even from that age, if either one of my sons doesn't feel loved, they start to behave in ways that I believe are beneath their birthright. And I think that we as adults, I see the same thing every day working with adults, is when people don't know who they are, we tend to behave in ways that are beneath our calling. And I think that when we can spend time with youth to journey with them through the discovery of who they are, we'll actually realize that youth are not beneath us, that youth have a distinct voice in the progress and the forward movement of our society. Youth often don't have a voice. Youth are living on the edges. Youth are marginalized. And the sad thing is that youth are our children. They are our cousins. They are our nieces, nephews. Their place at the table isn't any less than. Why we're focusing on youth is because we need to understand how youth feel in order to develop a society together that makes sense. You can't have a subset in society that is not included and isn't understood. So part of our focus is youth. And we're not saying here that, you know, we create a ton of programming and that we're saving the youth. But I'll tell you this, we're partnering with people who are, and they're doing incredible work. And when they come to us and they say, hey, you know what, we're running this particular event. And we say, hey, you know what, have you thought about doing this for your event? No, we haven't thought about that. Then we can go back to our people and say, this particular youth organization needs this for their event. Let's band together and give them that. Or, you know, they need people to support them at the event with food, or they need a place to meet on a weekly basis, or they have some youth that really needs some encouragement. We can work with them and partner with them to encourage these youth. And that, I'd say, really is the biggest challenge facing our Canadian youth, is that they're struggling with identity and the institution has not established any type of system that allows youth to work through that and be supported in ways that they need to be supported. And with all of the issues in our neighborhood, sometimes parents and some of the mentors are caught up working all the time. They're caught up outside of the home, and a lot of youth end up getting kind of the tail end of their parents' energy. Sometimes they don't even get their parents' energy, and we just want to be there to learn from the youth as well as share some of the things we've learned from each other over time.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would add, as someone who is with teenagers a lot as a dad, we are pressured deeply to live into a script and a narrative culturally. And I think anxiety is an epidemic. I think loneliness is a challenge because we're told that individualism is the way to do it, that consumerism is the way to go. And we live into these stories because we're told culturally this is the way things need to be. And I think we need to disrupt and challenge that. I don't think consumerism, buy more, is the best way to live. And I don't think hyper-individualism is actually working. So I think there's something that we have to present to young people and say there can be a different world. It doesn't need to be the way it is. And the way in which I think we can disrupt things is we just need better stories. We have to have better stories that can spark imagination of a world that can be different. Well, again, I think our space and what we're trying to do at Good City People is to create a space where we can hear the story and the stories of you, and then be a platform to get those stories out, because they're doing so much good. They have amazing ideas. They're resilient. They're compassionate. They see a world that isn't about us and thems in the dividing walls that we have created. They see a world just us. And I think we have to have the voice of youth, and we need to hear it and listen to it.
Yeah, I have one little story to share. Dave and I were at Whole Foods one day, and we were just strategizing and just coming up with some ideas for Good City People.
Good City People launched at Whole Foods. We did the whole sketch. Continue on.
We're at the youth conversation, and we're saying, like, you know, where are we going to really push the needle with these youth? And we're talking, and I was listening to both of our answers, and I was like, this is nonsense. Because 10 feet away, there's this group, there's lunch break, and there's
all
a school there.
All the kids from the school were.
And they're just sitting and talking, and they're all sharing, like, a box of cookies. I'm like, I said to Dave, I said, I remember doing that at their age, just sitting down, eating a bunch of cookies, talking. And I said, you know what? Why don't we ask them? Like, forget what we, our brains are too old and dusty. Let's talk to these young, incredible people. So I called them over, and they looked at me like, oh my gosh, what's this guy gonna ask me for? Like, my mom told me not to talk to strangers. They come over to listen. What do we need to learn from you? Look, I said, I'm an old guy. What do I need to learn from you? And they did not even hesitate. The answers were incredible. One guy says, we look at things from like a different perspective. And I think it's important for you to understand, because the world needs to move forward and progress. And we have the ideas that'll move some things forward. And I'm listening to him speak. This is the thing. We're taught that young people, because of their age, aren't as developed. They don't have the intellect. They don't have the perspective or depth. When I heard them all attach value to what the person before it said, I said, oh my goodness, I wish that I recorded this, because it was eloquent. It was insightful. It was deep. And you know what? What Dave and I were looking for, that we got it from them, and we were able to progress and move our organization forward because of that. And I said, you know what, this is just a microcosm for what needs to happen on a daily basis at Good City People. We can't have a table and not have youth, and that's something that I think we can even do better with the things we've done. I think we can continue to improve on making sure that there's more youth representation. Very important.
Yeah, and most of the events we do at gathers, and there are youth present, and we want more of that.
As you know, so UNA Canada has a mandate of promoting and educating Canadians about the work of the UN. It has recently established 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals. And a lot of them take a lot of attention, but maybe going back to SDG 11, which is not always highlighted, and it speaks to how we need to make humans and human settlements more inclusive, more safe, more resilient, and more sustainable. So going back to what you were speaking about, how do you think that you are helping achieve this, and how can we as groups of people help achieve it? And in the work that you do, you believe that neighborhoods are potentially the most important units of change, rather than other focus institutions like schools or parliament. So if you can maybe elaborate on that narrative, because it's new and we don't hear it every day. So we'd love to hear more from you about that.
Yes, great question. Thank you for that. How can we help achieve this? And then I'll go into talk a little bit about neighborhood. I think we need to create bigger tables, not bigger walls. So I think how we can help achieve it is, again, breaking down the barrier. We've got to get our own tables together. There's something about food and hospitality that create togetherness, like very few things do. There's something about bread and food that comes from the earth and the ground that connects us locally to our place. There's something about connection and storytelling that happens around tables. And culturally, most families don't even eat a meal together. They grab something, they go out and about. There's not this connection, and we've lost hospitality. We don't invite people into our homes and our spaces anymore. I don't think we're gonna change culturally. Institutions can't change these things if we're not at a human level getting together with one another. That's just the simple meal. So we create at Good Cities People this event called Gather, and all we tell people to do is bring something because we want everyone to participate. We're not going to provide it for you. Bring something. In the bringing of food, gathering together, we don't do anything. We just create the space, we sit back, and we watch the connections happen and the stories that emerge. And we need spaces of connection. So our groups that gather are incredibly diverse. We want to increase the diversity because we want a world where everyone belongs. There is no one who is on the outside. And I think the table levels the playing field. There's no power dynamics around a table. There's no one is better than the other around a table. And there's enough food for all, which I think is a pretty significant statement. And then why neighborhoods? I think they're unique. I would call them the commons, where they're small enough where you can be a known character, but they're large enough where all of life happens. So school and justice organizations and businesses are all in the neighbor. So if any one of those are isolated on their own, we'll never produce a change required. So a neighborhood is a space we need to gather together for the good of that neighborhood, that community. And if it's too large, I get overwhelmed if I think about changing Ottawa. It's exhausting. I don't know what to do. But I can do something in my neighborhood. I can see the needs. I'm a known character in the neighborhood in which I'm in. So I think it's small enough to actually see tangible, visible transformation. And it requires those in the neighborhood to actually start working together. I want to see businesses, I want to see organizations, institutions, justice, nonprofit works begin to work together to see change. And so it requires us to let go of our, I'm a coffee shop, or I'm a school, or I'm a community center. No, great.
I'm a part of the neighborhood.
I'm a part of the neighborhood. And let's see the commons become this place where we then begin to work for change together.
Yeah.
So it requires us to link together. Let's break down the silos and let's work together to see neighborhood change.
Yeah, and the beauty of that is that when you develop or create space for everybody to sit around the table, then who have a responsibility in society to ideate and to create the infrastructures for neighborhood. They hear the needs of the people around the table. So these developers and these people who are creating human settlements are doing that not from the perspective of an institution, but they're doing that from the perspective of a character in the neighborhood. So when Bob the Builder is about to build a neighborhood, he goes, I heard what Dave said he needed in order for the young people in his neighborhood to not be bored. You know, he builds a neighborhood that makes sense, one where people can come together, neighborhoods where that have collaborative spaces that naturally through the lived environment bring people together, that encourage people to congregate and to speak on a daily basis, not just a ceremonial basis. So I really do believe that the table and that human organic base or foundation, like any tree, like all of the goodness grows out of that, right? And that's really where I think the systemic change comes from. I think that the sustainability and resiliency comes from that table because there's support at the table. What happens when I create an isolation is that I create for myself. And if it's not good, then it falls and it breaks and then I suffer by myself. But when I create with people at the table, then if something is not perfect or not right, then we can all sustain it. We can all build it. It becomes more resilient.
Thomas used a word, the built environment. And I don't think we realize how the built environment actually can inhibit or and help connection, human connection. And our cities, often in our neighborhoods, are not designed in a way that creates interaction, where we're forced to bump into each other. We've lost the commons. Where are those spaces where anyone can come and talk about the issues of the day? Most coffee shops I walk into, everyone has their headphones in and they're with themselves. We don't need to be with ourselves anymore. We need to find ways to get outside, to be with others. So the way our neighborhoods are designed can create space for human interaction. One of the things I did recently, I was challenged on how do I measure that. So I counted how many people I bump into in my neighborhood in a week that I know and have connection with. And it was amazing. Just through the week, add up how many times do I just run into people and have a conversation that would never have happened. And who knows what spontaneously comes from those. And in a week, it was over 20 people that I just had spontaneous interaction with. And I want to see that grow. I want to know the people in my community in a deeper way.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Of course you can.
So SDG 11. one that is really important to us. And the SDGs have been, as a branding firm on the Godspeed side of things that specializes in working with brands that do good, the SDGs have been influential in the way that we actually brand businesses. Because businesses will come in looking for a business identity. By the time they leave, we actually build our process around the SDGs. So we say, what are you passionate about from a human level? And how can we build a brand around that? So special. I want to understand why SDG 11 is so important to you.
I think each one of the SDGs is important for all of us, and that you will find in SDG 17, which is partnership for the goals, that we need to create partnership. And in a way, SDG 11 ties a lot into your work, and we found out through the readings, through the research, that sometimes we focus on other SDGs and we don't hear a lot about SDG 11. Mm. We talk about human settlement and inclusivity, safety, resilience. We felt that in a lot of the spaces we've been to in your work, that was created and encouraged. And we wanted to get you to speak about that in a way, especially in terms of inclusive spaces. I recently attended your last gather where a couple of people highlighted that the people who told their stories were people of color. And having that inclusive, safe space for even sharing maybe personal stories and showing vulnerability was very important. So you're doing great work and we wanted to highlight that.
Fantastic. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Out of a theme in working with brands on the sustainable development goals, that's really great in increasing the awareness. Because sometimes we ask youth, do you know about the SDGs? And then many times they tell us we don't. So increasing awareness on the SDGs is very important, and they're so rich, they're so condensed, they touch on most aspects of our life. So if we can include them into our narrative and the way we do things and adding a purpose to it, we're connecting with people around the world as well.
You're doing a good job of that. When I was in London, I was walking in the subway station and I saw each of the SDG numbers. They had a little square as I was walking down the subway station. So it was kind of fun seeing it in London.
Maya sums it up really well. And I love how you really foster that inclusivity, safety, resiliency, and sustainability in terms of developing communities. Thomas, how would you approach educating students, especially those who were raised in a capitalist country, efficiently in a way that they would feel inspired to collaborate with others to contribute to the well-being of people and the environment beyond building structures, to contribute to more sustainable cities and communities, such as like building the SDG 11, because it's more than just having like infrastructure. It's about the people and about like making sure that they feel safe, resilient, sustainable in these communities.
When it comes to educating students, I think the first thing is actually looking at it differently than educating students. Mm-hmm. I think it's about bringing people together. It comes back to a very foundational element. You know, Dave talked about the table in the last question. I think there is systemic design to isolate young people. I think that our systems don't bring young people, people at large, but people together. And I think that students are intelligent enough to see what comes out of collaborative situations. You put any young people together and they will create something. So in a situation here where we're talking about young people, students being raised in a capitalist country, how would they feel inspired to collaborate with others? Well, at the end of the day, I think that we need to design systems that encourage that as well. I'm not saying that there aren't any students or young people that wouldn't create those collaborative situations themselves, but there's so many that don't even know how to. There's so many people who don't even know how to start a conversation with someone else. At our last gather, we said to the group, we said, look, start off by saying, what's your story? Because so many people, even adults who work every day with other adults and present to thousands or hundreds of people, still have problems starting a conversation. So I think that if we work on system from a educational perspective that put students in situations where they can be together to dream up their own reality, I think that's when we can be really successful. And in helping them to be inspired in collaborative situations, it's literally just putting them there. I think young people are inspiring to begin with, and they're honest enough to start conversations that are difficult and that spur results. I think that's really important. The idea of the building structures to contribute to sustainable cities and communities, I think all of that comes out of the collaboration. I think that is an impact, and that's a result of young people coming together and coming up with ideas. I think young people will always leave the table saying, okay, so what do we do? Generally, young people are not going to leave the table going, well, that was a great discussion. I'm going home to do my homework. They go, so what are we going to start? hurt. What are we gonna do? You're gonna do this. I'll do this. Let's meet again tomorrow. I think the key is finding a way to engraft collaboration into systemic development and change. That's really what I'm trying to say.
I think the only thing I would add in terms of educating is we often don't help not just youth but humans on how to listen, how to ask better questions and stop giving more answers, to check our privilege and to actually know when to sit back and let another voice around the table be a louder voice. Capitalist country often is the ones with the most money and power that lead, and I think that's a problem because they often don't have the best ideas. So I think we do have to check our privilege in a capitalistic country, and I think we need to give space for those who right now are fighting for that space. We need to hear the voice of the indigenous. We need to hear the voice of other nations and nationalities, cultures, races. We need to hear the voice of our queer brothers and sisters. We need to hear the voice of those on the edges and the margins. We've got to create space because they have a voice. Everyone has a voice. It's just whether we're listening to it or not. So I think we got to start by asking better questions and listening.
Thank you for that. In a digital era, we live in a world where artificial intelligence is taking over and human interactions in all social settings have changed. Your Starbucks, your automatic checkout, the way you order an Uber, it's all changing. And so how are citizens responding to your initiative and advocating for deeper connections between people? Do you see that the momentum is strong, that people feel the need, or do you still want more and feel that we've got a long way to go through?
Say yes, and we have a long way to go. As the world becomes where technology is replacing human connection, the one thing that I know is true is that will never be replaced deep in our soul. We need connection, just as being human. So if that is being replaced, other things have to emerge where human connection is possible because it's necessary for us. So we at Good City People want to look culturally and go, there's a void, which is sad. That innovation is now about how to create space at a table. That's the most innovative thing. The most innovative thing is local food. The most innovative thing is craft everything because we have this desire to get back to the local. And we're so dislocated from the places in which we live and the people in which we inhabit space with that I think Good City People can be one very small piece of creating kind of a space where I think there's a huge need. Technology will not replace human connection, and we just see it. We stare at our phones all the time and it's not helping. So I think we have a moment culturally where we have a lot of hard work to do in getting us back to being human again. And the soul of every human is to be known and to be loved. And so if we can be known as people where our stories are known, and if you as your story is known can receive love, I think we'll transform cities and neighborhood and world. But that work is hard work. We can code all we want and make really cool gadgets, but the hard work is to actually forgive, it's to love, it's to need, it's to be known. And that's the work that I think we all need to engage in.
If there's anything you still want to add?
Yeah, the only thing is, if anything has kind of sparked interest for you, find us on social media, extend the questions. We want to keep the conversation going. In no way is this the end of something. We really want it to see the beginning of something.
Definitely.
So let's keep talking. Let's keep growing together and let's see our neighborhoods and cities become whole. And my hope is that you as people become whole.
One thing I want to share, just remember that the cultural narrative is not necessarily the narrative. It's the loudest. The things that you will want to do, there will be perspectives that you will have or that you do have that aren't popular. My advice is for you to sit in that and see it as real, despite what the cultural narrative says. Your lives are really about your existence with the people around you. And the moment that you live in into this individualistic hidden reality, you'll lose yourself. So see people as valuable and special, but most importantly, necessary, and engage people as often and as deeply as possible, and you'll see and find yourself.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Dave. Thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks everyone, and please remember, just keep greening.